Like I say, it is good to see all of you here today. We're going to continue with our look at the book of Romans. We're going to jump over a few chapters and look at the first couple of verses of Romans chapter 12. In this context, Paul writes verses 1 and 2 here, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What I want to focus on this morning is what he says in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Back when I used to do factory work, and you probably have heard me say this before, but I had fellows that would sit around the machine with me when we would eat our lunch, and they would say, "You know, how can you work at a place like this and be a Christian?" This was my go-to verse, my go-to passage. And basically, I would tell them, I don't have to live like this world. In fact, it's a command. Do not be conformed to this world. But when we think about what Paul says here, do not be conformed to this world, what does that mean to you? What does that word conformed mean to you? Is it just another word that when you read over a passage, you just kind of scan over it and keep going without giving it much thought? Does it even relate to our daily living? Because Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. I want to suggest that we need to be very familiar with the idea of conformity, of conforming to this world. Not just to understand what Paul writes here, but because this word plays a very vital role in your life and my life. We live in a day and time, when you think about it, it's really no different than any other time throughout history. The world is going to influence us. And before you say, "Well, no, Jeff," yes, it will influence each and every person here. You say, "Well, it doesn't. It defines what kind of car you drive, what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of job you have. It helps you to conform. It influences you to a certain degree. To say that it doesn't, well, we make ourselves a liar." So to help us properly apply, I hope, this exhortation by Paul, I want to begin by examining the concept of understanding conformity. What does it mean to conform? Well, the best way to start is by defining the word conform. It means to conform to another's pattern. Well, what does that mean, Jeff? Well, it means that you have a desire to be like someone else. You ever seen a child want to be like older brother, older sister? A child want to be like mama and daddy? That's what it's talking about here, except when we look at it in perspective of what Paul's talking about, we want to be like someone else in the world. And we can't be that way. We may want to do what they say what they say. You know, we talked about a catchphrase, WWJD. And a lot of us may have gotten on that bandwagon. What would Jesus do? We might even wore the little rubber band around our wrist, you know, reminding us. And we want to be like the world. And there's some churches in this area that have the sign that the members put out in the front yard, "Let go, let God." We want to be like everybody else. We want to say what they say. We want to do what they do. And then we join hands with the rest of the world and mimic what's being said. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it can be something wrong. And we want to wear what everybody else is wearing because it's the fashion of today. And don't get me wrong. Some of these things are, like I say, they're okay within themselves. But to accept the ideas, the fashions, the way of talking, the living, and the list goes on, just to be popular, well, that's nothing more than peer pressure that we warn our children about, is it? A conformist, therefore, is someone who is afraid to be different. Isn't that what a Christian's supposed to be? They're afraid to be different, and they feel a need to fit in, to be like everybody else. And that's a danger, especially when you look at what society offers. When you talk about conforming in our society, that's a tremendous amount of pressure to just be like everybody else, to conform. But it's conforming to the standards of that group. And like I say, we talk about peer pressure, but it's even with adults. People tell adults they need to conform. You need to go along to get along. But like I say, it's with young people in the way they dress. How many of you remember taking your children to buy clothes, new clothes for school and new shoes, and they had to have the end shoes, the Converse high tops, remember them? You had to have them. Well, why have you got to have that? Because that's what everybody's wearing. You wouldn't like me. I had to go to Fly's Manufacturing and get the discarded Husky jeans when I was growing up. Those Levi's wouldn't fit. I couldn't conform that way. But the pressure is oftentimes strongest with our children, our teenagers, and the younger people. The young often are going to have a low self-esteem of themselves. You know, we went to El Bethel Tuesday night, and the preacher interrupted his own sermon and talked about pride. And I'd never thought about it, but he says, low self-esteem is a form of pride. Because you think you're never good enough to be in the group. And then when somebody recognizes you, then you feel elevated. But low self-esteem causes us to want to withdraw, to not associate, and things of that nature. And I agree with him to a certain point. Because low self-esteem means that I'm not looking well enough at myself. And that causes me to want to give in and to conform with what the world tries to sell me. Watching TV, reading magazines and things of this nature, the advertisers, they only complicate the matter. I'm old enough to remember the Marlboro Man and the guy that would mow his yard and a little boy pushing the plastic mower behind him, and daddy and the little boy sat down under the tree, and the daddy takes a pack of cigarettes and packs one out, puts it in his mouth, and the little boy looks over beside his daddy and he reaches down to get the cigarettes. He's conforming to the pressure to be like daddy. And advertisers know what works. They know what's going to click your button. And when you think about it, it's like I've said in the past, the devil's got a toolbox and he's got your name on this drawer, and he's going to open it and he goes, hey, yeah, this will work with Dwayne. Uh-oh, and this one, this drawer here, it'll work with Steve, and this drawer, it'll work with Charles, and he knows us very well, and he's going to use the advertisers to influence us to conform with the sinful world. They're trying to market and sell their products, trying to get people to conform to their products. That's what the world is filled with. But when we're understanding conformity, we need to understand that there is a danger in going along to get along and being like everybody else. And that's what Paul warns us about. It can easily lead us to do what we know is wrong. You know drinking is wrong, right? But if you get in with the right crowd, reflect on your mind, if you will, and your life, and go back to high school. And how many of you had people that would drink, sneak around and drink, and they tried to get you to join them? And sometimes you might say, well, no, I can't do that because it's wrong. And how many times did you slip away and conform? But they want us to follow suit. I mean, you think about it. The kids that go for a joyride. Again, I'm old enough to remember that they would drive up and down Madison Street, come to Sonic, turn around, and go back. And I guarantee you, if you stop one or several of the cars, there'd be some liquor or beer in the car. But it was cool, wouldn't it, to be in that car? If it's summertime with the top down, it was cool to be seen with all the cool kids in high school. Well, your kids are the same way. And parents have a tough time today teaching their children not to conform to the world. But it's even harder to teach your child not to conform when we are conforming as adults. Men go out for business meetings and things of this nature. You know, my mama used to say, I'd say, Mama, let me go do what everybody else is doing. Well, if they were jumping off a cliff, would you jump with them? You know, the older I get, I'm thinking, I know exactly what she's talking about now, but when she said it, I'm going, Mama, that don't make sense. But we want to conform so much with what the rest of the world is offering that in a sense, spiritually, we're just walking off the cliff like a row of zombies. We just don't know what we're doing because we're so focused to be like everybody else. The social drinking. Well, I've got to go to the Christmas party, and I know they'll be drinking there, and I'm not going to drink. And then you wind up drinking. I know some Christians that think it's okay to have a glass of wine with your evening meal because it helps to settle the stomach, as Paul told young Timothy. There are some doctors that even promote drinking wine with the meal because it helps with the digestive suit. But when others follow suit, when everybody else is doing it, the pressure to conform sometimes is too great. And we give in. And if we don't give in, then you know what's going to happen. They're going to ridicule you. Well, you didn't show up. It's because you're holier than everybody else, because you're one of those Church of Christers. You don't think that you're supposed to be doing these things? Really? That's what they throw at you. That's the peer pressure. That's the world trying to make you conform. But once you give in, the conformity is easier the next time. Think about what the psalmist writes in Psalm 1. He talks about the varying degrees there of sin. He begins by talking about that when you walk along, you won't stand or join in because you steer away because you know that that's a sinful act taking place there. And it may be the people at the water cooler at work telling dirty jokes or telling some dirty show they watched last night or some video they watched. You steer clear of it because you don't want to conform. The psalmist says, you begin to walk even closer. Well, I'll just go up to him and stand to the outside and listen in. Well, you started conforming. The psalmist says that eventually you get to where you just sit down in the midst of them because you no longer are able to withstand the pressure. The next time, conformity is easier. And conformity can separate us from God when you think about it. To go along, to get along, to do what the rest of the world would have you to do, can separate us from God. I think Wednesday, Brother Ethan did an invitation a couple of Wednesdays ago on 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, where John writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Notice what he's talking about here. He's talking about that the world we live in is the devil's realm, okay? That's why the pressure to conform to the world is so great, because this is talking about that very toolbox that he's got that's got your name on each drawer. You give in to the lust of the flesh, to immorality. And he knows one of you may be stronger against immorality, but somebody else, and even if you're strong, you have some weakness, some chink in your armor. He talks about the lust of the eyes, the succumbing to the materialism of this world. Well, so-and-so's got the nicest car. I need a car just like that. Or I need a truck, or I need a house, or I need this in my house because so-and-so's got it. Giving in to materialism. And then the pride of life. Yielding to arrogance. The devil's realm is where we live, and he wants us to conform to this world. And he's going to try his very best to get each and every one of us to conform. So now we can understand what Paul means. Do not be conformed to this world. There are grave dangers in conforming to another's pattern. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17 tells us the devil's got a pattern. Now, how do we deal with the presence of conformity? How do we deal with that pressure to conform, to be like everybody else? Well, Paul goes on in that passage and he says, don't conform, but be transformed. We need to be a transformist. Not to be confused, young people, with transformers. But be a transformist. And that is a conformist, you know, we've already talked about it as we use it here, is one who undergoes a superficial, shallow change. Basically, you become a cheap imitation of someone else because you're not an original. You're letting others do your thinking for you by being a conformist. But a transformist is one who undergoes a real change in their life. They're like the old science project of a caterpillar turning into a beautiful butterfly. Experiences the true renewal in their life. And that begins with conversion, like Paul says to young preacher Timothy in Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. He says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's when our renewal begins. It's when we've obeyed the gospel. Through the washing of renewing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It involves a renewal of the mind, as we notice in our text, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This true renewal is also what we continue on as we go through life. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, that we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. But you see, this is a process. I'm not going to be renewed day by day if I'm not serving the Lord faithfully, simply, and humbly. If I'm succumbing to the pressures of the world, I'm conforming and I'm not transforming. Becoming a transformist, it addresses the reasons why so many people conform in the first place. There is a feeling of insecurity with people in the world. And yet we learn that God loves us and we are special. 1 John 3 and verse 1. And there should be a desire to follow Him instead of the crowd. If everybody else was jumping off a cliff, would you jump? How bad do you want to be like everyone else in the world? Are you willing to give up on God? we learn the ultimate end of following the world when we read passages like 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. But becoming a transformist marks the difference between Christians who are truly converted and those who are shallow imitators of a true disciple. You know, we talk about making Eastside strong. And I'll tell you, Eastside is only as strong as the weakest member here. Now, I'm not asking who that is. But we have to examine our own lives and ask ourselves, are we conforming to the world, giving in to the pressures, or are we transforming? Are we being the cheap imitator of the world or an imitator of Paul, who was an imitator of Christ? When we deal with the pressure to conform, not only are we being a transformist, but we need to be a leader. Someone that steps to the front and becomes a follower. You see, that's what a transformist is. It's someone who proves to others what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Paul said that in Romans 12 and verse 2. They present their bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12 and verse 1. They have the courage to say no to things that are wrong. Their example helps others to fight off the pressure to conform, giving others the strength to say no by their example, by being a leader, encouraging others to do what is right. Look at Joshua. He was an excellent example of a leader. As you read the end of the book of Joshua there, we'll paraphrase, and he says, "As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord." He prefaced that statement by saying, "You decide for yourself, are you going to follow the gods on the other side of the Jordan? Or are you going to follow the God that brought you here?" He says, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." What say you? Are you going to conform? Or are you going to step up and be a leader? A leader in the church, a leader in Christianity. You see, later on in the book of Judges, there's a statement made that they did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't transform, they didn't step up to be a leader, but they did what the rest of the world was doing. A conformist, at best, they're just a simple follower. And when we're just a simple follower, we let others do our thinking for us. And we let others lead us into harm's way. You know, everybody experiences the pressure to conform to the standards and practices of the world. Everybody wants to be told what to say, what to think, how to live. That's especially true with young people who are very impressionable. That's why the roles of mamas and daddies is so important. And not to mention grandmamas and granddaddies. But even those who are older are persuaded by those in positions of power and influence. You know, we have a choice. We have a choice. Either to buckle under the pressures to conform and be led by those who are destroying their bodies, their minds, and their souls, or to look to Jesus, the true nonconformist, and allow ourselves to be transformed, as Paul says, by the renewing of our minds. If we're going to conform, let us conform to the image of Jesus. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, excuse me, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." I want to read to you from the easy-to-read version. "God knew them before he made the world, and he decided that they would be like his Son, then Jesus would be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters." If you're going to follow anybody, follow Jesus. Because that's going to require you to be a true transformist. It's going to require you to truly transform the inner man. And we can demonstrate what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Lord willing, we're going to continue another look at this passage next week. Tonight, we're going to talk about, now I'm going to change the title of it, Make Hay While the Sun's Shining. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So I encourage you to come back tonight. But it may be that you're here this morning and you have conformed to the world. The world would tell you that you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. They would tell you that you don't have to be immersed. You could be sprinkled. That's not what the Scriptures teach us. In Mark 16, Mark's account of the invitation, of the Great Commission rather, he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." On the day of Pentecost, when they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." So baptism, immersion, is necessary. So you have to be a transformist. You have to renew your mind that you're going to follow Christ and His example. But it may be that you've done all that and you've decided again to conform with the world and not serve the Lord like He would have you to. I pray that if you find yourself in that condition this morning, that you're going to transform yourself, be a transformist, be a leader, step out of your box, your comfort zone, and do what Christ would have you to do, and confess your sins, as public as they may be. You may not find yourself in either one of those situations, but you may need the prayers of the saints because of trials and struggles that you're going through in this life. We can accommodate you with that as well. If you're here this morning and subject to the Lord's invitation, I encourage you to make your way to the front while together